Today's shiur is Masechta Shavuos Daf Chaf Hei. We will begin by the Mishnah Daf Chaf Hei Amud Aleph. Says the Mishnah, Echad Varam Shel Atzmai. We continue discussing Shavuos Bitui, whether the shavuah pertains to the person who's making it himself, Echad Varam Shel Chaim, or pertains to others, Echad Varam Sheyesh B'Mamish, whether the shavuah refers to things that are tangible, Echad Varam She'ein B'Mamish, or things that are not tangible. And now the Mishnah begins to explain. Example of shvuas that apply to others. Although I did see the Mefarshim make an interesting point. We know many times it's the style of the Mishnah to first say rules and then begin to explain the rules. Sometimes the Mishnah explains the first rule it mentioned first. Sometimes it explains the last rule it mentions first. Here we have the Mishnah explaining the second rule. Very unstylistic style of the Mishnah. So what's happening here? So Mefarshim explained the first rule of Dvarim Shel Atzmai, shvuos that apply to the person making them, is a rule that we've been discussing the entire parak, so there's no need for us to review that. So the first rule that the Mishnah now explains is something new, shvuos that apply to others. And therefore says the Mishnah, Ketzad, Amar Shvua She'etan L'Shploini. If someone has made a shvua that he will give someone else something, or She'loi Etan, or I won't give, She'nasati, V'She'loi Nasati, that I gave or I didn't give, those are all valid shvuos bitui. Continues the Mishnah. Now, explaining the next rule, Yesh B'Mamish V'Ein B'Mamish. Says the Mishnah, She'ishin V'She'loi Yishin, if someone makes a shvua that he will or won't sleep, or She'ishanti V'She'loi Yishanti, or he makes a shvua that he did or didn't sleep, that's a shvuah she'ein by mamish. She'ezrik troliyam, that I will throw a pebble into the sea, or v'shloi ezroik, I won't. She'zarakti v'shloi zarakti, also in the category of ein by mamish. And as the Mefarshim all explain, the Mishnah has actually given us two different examples of ein by mamish. The first case is a very understandable case. Something that it's intangible. Sleep is an intangible. The next case is not that obvious. It's talking about throwing a pebble into the sea. It's tangible, but it doesn't really mean anything. It's an insignificant act. And that, too, the Mishnah categorizes, at least at this point we're learning, as something she'ein by mamish. Continues the Mishnah. You're only chayav for shvuah to the future. Shenemar lahara oy lahetev. It all speaks to the future. And as the pasuk implicates. Amalai, Rabbi Kiva, so says Rabbi Kiva to Rabbi Shmuel, if you are correct, if you can follow the wording of the pasuk speaks about harava tova, good and bad. Dvarm she'ein ben harava tova. However, things that don't have good and bad, minayin, how will we know are considered valid shulis? Amalei maribe akosif, because the pasuk says, and we're going to discuss this at great length later in the perek. The pasuk says l'chola shi'evata odam v'shvuah, which comes to be marba, says Reb Ishmael, agreeing to this, all types of shvuos, not just harava tova. Says Reb Akiva to Reb Ishmael, im riba kosel kach, if you are agreeable that the pasuk is being marba, so then you should also be agreeable, riba kosel kach, that the Torah is being marba, shvuos about the past. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan Chaim ben Dorm b'shvuos, the Dorm have a chumra over shvuos, and Chaim b'Shvus Medarim, and Shvus have a chumra over Nedarim. Chaim Medarim, what makes Nedarim more chumradik? Shnedarim cholam advar mitzvah kedvar rishus. If somebody makes a neder that he won't sit in the sukkah, it's a valid neder. If somebody makes such a neder regarding such a shvuah, mash'en ke mishvus, it would not be valid. Why? So as we discussed many times, a neder is an iser cheftza, a shvuah is an iser gavra. So a person can't make a shvuah that I won't sit in the sukkah when he has an obligation to sit in the sukkah. However, a neder is not speaking about me. It's speaking about the sukkah. And therefore, such a neder is a valid neder. Even though the Mefarshim ask, as we have been learning, that we've discussed the concept of kailul, that means if somebody includes in a shvuah things that it's valid, it could include even things that maybe the shvuah for themselves would not be valid. So why, if somebody made a shvuah that I won't sit in this room and I won't sit in the sukkah, which the shvuah not sitting in this room is a valid shvuah, and therefore should validate the other part also. The simple teretz is that not everybody, as we learned earlier in our perek, agrees to the concept of kailul b'shvuos. Secondly, the Shvuah isn't still valid on a mitzvah. It only got valid, so to speak, incidentally. We want to speak about the inherent element of Shvuah. Continues the Mishnah. Chaim b'shvuah, continues the Braisa rather. Chaim b'shvuah, what makes Shvuah more chomer than Dorim? As our Mishnah just taught us, a shvuah is even passable on something intangible. Masha'en came in the Dorim. The Dorim, it's only passable on something tangible. Again, based on what we said a moment ago, that a nether is an issa cheftza, you need a cheftza. Otherwise, you don't have a nether. Or even though the Braisa that we just learned was very clear in indicating that a nether could only be chal on something that has a mamoshe, something tangible. And therefore the best example, as we learned and we'll learn in a moment again, of something not being tangible is sleeping. And therefore the Mishnah, the Gemara is teaching us, the Braisa just taught us that a nether not to sleep would not be valid nether. We recall that we learned in the Dorim that there is a way to make a nether even on sleep. And that is, if you didn't say that I'm making a nether, I won't sleep, you make a nether, kanyam einai, that my eyes shouldn't sleep, the eyes being tangible, therefore such a nether, even if it's a nether, it would be considered a valid nether. Furthermore, as I alluded to in a moment ago, our Mishnah gave us two examples of a davar sheba mamish. One is sleep, something intangible, and the next was throwing a pebble into the sea, which we said is tangible but meaningless. When Al Gemara differentiates between a nether and a shvuah, that a shvuah is chal on davar she'ein b'mamish, whereas a nether is not, it's only referring to the first type of ein b'mamish, sleep. But throwing a pebble into the sea, as much as a shvuah could be chal on it, because you have a pebble, even though it's meaningless, so much so a nether could be chal on it too. Farshim asks that earlier in our perek, we had a discussion, a lengthier discussion, about atfasa. That nedarim could be made with atfasa. That means if I say that this should be also like a carbon, everybody agrees that that's a valid nether. Whereas by a shvuah, we had a machlaikis if atfasa works. So according to Manda Amrim, that atfasa is not valid by a shvuah, one of the brides mentioned that as a difference between the darim and shvuas. So the number of truths are given. One text says, our Mishnah is an abraisa, is not discussing how a nether is articulated or how a shvuah is articulated. It speaks about the basis, the issa cheftza versus the issa gavra. Hatfasa doesn't speak to that. Another pshat is that, especially if we hold that without hatfasa, we spoke about such an opinion, you don't have a nether. So of course a nether has a tfasa. Otherwise you don't have a nether, and therefore it didn't have to be mentioned. So we learned in the Mishnah, Ketzad, if somebody makes a shvuah that he will or won't give somebody something, it's considered a valid shvuah. Ask the Gemara, might etain. What is the case that's meant by etain? Ilam it's stokalani. If it's referring to a case where somebody says, I'm going to give stokal to that poor person, ask the Gemara, mishboim v'amim v'hasinehu. As we've been learning, and we'll continue learning, one cannot make a shvuah on something that you're obligated to do, as I discussed the other day. He's mushva v'amim. So I'm mushva v'aymet to give tzedakah. So that can't be the nether, because the pasuk says nosan titen loy. I'm obligated to give the tzedakah. Ella, what is the case? Matana l'asher, where I made a nether, that I made a shvuah, I'm going to give a gift to a wealthy person. There's no mitzvah that you have to give a gift to a wealthy person. That shvuah is a valid shvuah. Number of points the Rajba makes. The Rajba says the Gemara actually could have discussed a number of situations even when you have a poor person. Because even though you have an obligation to give a poor person tzedakah, number one, that's only when the poor person is in front of you. You're not obligated to go look for a poor person. There's machloikas rishonim if there's a mitzvah say to do something, but there's certainly no lav involved. Furthermore, the price can point out that if I already gave tzedakah that day, the Rishonim say this, I don't have to give tzedakah midiraisa again. So if I made a shvuah, I'm going to give somebody tzedakah, not give him tzedakah, that has nothing to do with the mitzvah. I already fulfilled the mitzvah. Furthermore, even if the poor person is here, and even if I haven't given tzedakah today, I'm only obligated to give up to my means. And let's say this person's asking for a large donation, I'm not obligated to give it. So the Gemara could have given all of those examples, but the Gemara says the Rajva looked for a simpler. The Machna Frayim, I saw, asks an interesting question. Machna Frayim asks the why, even if we've have all these conditions, I haven't given tzedakah, the poor person is here, I haven't given tzedakah today, and he's not asking for a lot of money, who says I have to give to this poor person? Why can't I choose to give to a different poor person? So even under those circumstances, there should be no chiv tzedakah. So he says a very big chiddush. He says, what would be the halacha if this poor person is my relative? Would it be a din of mibsor chalta salim? So if I haven't given tzedakah, and he's not asking for a lot of money, I have an obligation, and he's asking me, I have an obligation to give him first, and I can't say that I already fulfilled my obligation. So what is the case of the Gemara? The case of the Gemara is, where I made a shvuah, I'm going to give a wealthy person a gift, there's no mitzvah involved in that. Ask the Rishonim, but why is that a valid shvuah? Maybe he won't accept the gift. I made a shvuah, I'm going to give you a gift, but maybe you won't accept it. You're a wealthy person. So why is that considered a valid shvuah? So I saw two approaches in the Rishonim. One approach is a fairly simple approach that I said, I'm making a shvuah that I'm going to give it. And if he doesn't take it, I fulfilled my obligation. Another approach that Rishonim suggest is if I make a shvuah that I'm going to give a wealthy person whatever I'm going to give him, as soon as I give it to him, I've done my shvuah. The fact that he doesn't accept it, even if I didn't speak it out, doesn't mean that I violated my shvuah. Because my shvuah was to give it to him. His refusal to accept it doesn't mean that I didn't do what I was supposed to do. And actually, this concept I saw could be used to answer a very interesting question. We all recall that Yaakov Avinu calls Yosef to his deathbed and says to him, I want you to swear to me that you're going to take me out of Mitzrayim to bury me in the Maor of Machpelah. And Yosef swears. The question is, how is that a valid shvuah? As we know, the parasha teaches us, Yosef had to get Pharaoh's permission. So how could a shvuah that's not in my hands be a valid shvuah? But according to what we just quoted from the Rishonim, it's very understandable. Either Yaakov, when he made Yosef swear, told him, I'm only expecting you to do what you can, and if you're unsuccessful, I have no problem. Or, he doesn't even have to say it, as I just said. The fact that that Yosef does whatever he can, that's considered that he fulfilled his obligation. If it's something out of his control, that doesn't mean you didn't fulfill your obligation. There's another pshat, a pidrush, that I saw. Yaakov is certain that Yosef would be successful. Why was Yaakov certain that Yosef would be successful? Because we all recall, I think Rashi quotes it, that when Paroi met Yosef, Yosef knew Lashon HaKodesh and Paroi did not. And Paroi was unable to learn it. And it was a terrible embarrassment to Paroi that he didn't know Lashon HaKodesh. And he made Yosef swear that he wouldn't disclose that fact to anyone. So Yaakov was aware of that situation between Paroi and Yosef. So Yaakov Avinu knew that if Yosef would come to Paroi and say, you know, I've made a shvuah to my father, that I'm going to take him out of Mitzrayim. If Paroi is going to say, so I don't care about the shvuah, so Yosef will say, okay, I don't care about the other shvuah, which Paroi would never want to live with. And that's why Yaakov was certain that Paroi would give him permission. Continues the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah, she'ishim v'shlo'ishim. If somebody makes a shvuah that he will sleep or won't sleep, so it's a valid shvuah. Ask the Gemara, any, why is that a valid shvuah? If somebody makes a shvuah they won't sleep for 3 days, since it's impossible to go for 3 days without sleep, he doesn't have to go to sleep right away. He has to get Malchus right away, because it's the shvuah that's a shvuah shav. Answers the Gemara, Hossam, where he said 3 days, so it's impossible to go 3 days without shvuah. Here he didn't speak about 3 days. So we show him debate. What does this mean when the Gemara says Hossam Deloy Amar Gimel? Doesn't mean that he made a shvuah that he won't sleep they didn't say 3 days, but he said 2 days or 1 day, which is possible. Or is it enough that he didn't say amount of days? So since he didn't say amount of days, it's not automatically an impossible shvuah. So there's a very interesting Rambam. The Gemara teaches us, as we just learned, that you can't survive 3 days without sleep. The Gemara says you can't survive a week without eating. Some people can, it's less, but the Gemara says a week. So now the question is, what would be if somebody made a shvuah, I won't eat for a week? is that what's the status of that shul? So the Rambam, quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, says that's the same like our Gemara. Since it's an impassable shul to fulfill, Malkanoi saw he gets Malkus immediately. Interesting with Kivega. Kivega makes the following knech. He says like this. He says, if the person says, I won't put anything in my mouth for a week, so since it's impossible to do that, says the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, you get Malkus right away. But what would be the halacha, says Rav Kivega? He says, I won't eat for a week. Going back to what we've discussed in this perek, how much does eating mean? A kazayis. So what he could do is take little bites, less than a kazayis. He could survive that way, and the shvuah still could be a good shvuah. So therefore, says Rav Kivega, the Rambam is specific, the Rambam in Shulchan Aruch is specifically talking about a situation where he says, I won't put anything in my mouth. But if this person says, I won't eat for a week, that's a fine shvuah, he just, because he could survive by eating less than a kazayis at a time. The Ran disagrees. The Ran says, you can't compare the situation of sleeping and eating. Why? He says, if a person is up for 3 days, his eyes are going to close by themselves. You can't stay up more than 3 days. You cannot eat for 3 days. Eating is not something that is that voluntary. That's involuntary. Sleep after 3 days is involuntary. Eating remains voluntary. And therefore, says the Ran, the shvuah for itself is a fine shvuah. When the week comes, if you won't take something into your mouth, you won't survive. So that's a new issue. That it's pikuach nefesh, that you have to eat. But that doesn't make the shvuah invalid. But then the Ran says he agrees with the Rambam, but for this different reason. He says, because somebody makes a shvuah not to eat for a week or longer, is making a shvuah to violate what it says in the Torah. The Torah says, v'nishmat ma'adol nafshasechem, and as we said, you can't survive without eating a week, and therefore the shvuah by itself is invalid because it goes against the Torah. Continues the Gemara. Shazuk tzra l'yoyim, v'shloy ezrik. Somebody makes a shvuah that he will or won't throw a pebble into the sea. Itma. Shvuah shazark plani tzra l'yoyim. If somebody makes a shvuah that somebody threw some pebble into the sea, or shloy zarak, or he didn't. We have a machlokes. Rava mechayev, v'shmul ha'mapotah. Rav says, it's a valid shvuah, Shmuel says it's not. Rava mechayev, isa b'lavahein. Any shvuah that could be articulated as a positive or as a negative is a valid shvuah. V'shmul ha'mapotah, Shmuel says it's not, because leis b'habah. The shvuah, I can't make a shvuah that you will do something. Ask the Gemara, Lame plucked Rav Shmuel Kamiflagi. So Tosfos right away points out, what's the Gemara's question? What's Pshat in Shmuel? Didn't the Gemara just tell us that Pshat in Shmuel is that to be a valid Shmuah, it has to be a Shmuah that can be articulated in the past, in the future and the past? So what's the Gemara's question? So Tosfos says, so the two Turutzim. One Teretz is that we just had, the Gemara really just had a Machlokes of Rav and Shmuel without the explanation. The Gemara added that the reason is because Shmuel needs a Shvuah that can be said in the past and future. But now the Gemara is saying, who says that that's Pshat? Or another Pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that the Gemara, it's very common for the Gemara to try to tie a Machloikis Amaroam to Machloikis Tanoam. And therefore the Gemara is trying to see if the Machloikis of Rav and Shmuel can be connected to the Machloikis that we had in the Mishnah just now between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. That not, as we learned in the Mishnah, you only chayv for shvuah that speaks about the future, as the pasuk says, shnem lohar lahetiv. Amalei Rekiva, and Rekiva said to Rabbi Shmuel, imken el dvarm shesh ben rova tava, would only speak to, following the exact wording of the pasuk, it should be limited to shvuahs that speak about good and bad. Dvarm shesh ben rova tava, how do you know a valid shvuah? Amalei, to which Rabbi Shmuel responds, Maribe Akasav, the pasuk says, l'chol shabbat adabis v'sayim. Amalei, Rabbi Kiva says to Rabbi Shmuel, and Riba Akasav l'kach, Riba Akasav l'kach. Says the Gemara, Rav, that says that a shvuah could be for the past alone is a valid shvuah, is obviously following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Shmuel, that says that it has to be good for the past and the future, obviously holds like Rabbi Shmuel. The shvuah just for the past is not a good shvuah. Says the Gemara, it's not necessary to explain Rav and Shmuel being connected to this machlokes. Four, says the Gemara, a leader of Shmuel kulam lo pligi. Everybody, Rav certainly didn't say his psak according to Shmuel, because says the Gemara, hashta milsa de isabel haba. In a case where the shvuah can be articulated for the future, says Rabbi Shmuel, lo mechayev al Rabbi Shmuel l'shaver. Still, Rabbi Shmuel says if you made the shvuah in the past tense, it's not a valid shvuah spitul. So then, milsa deleisa mahaba, a shvuah that can't even be articulated into the future, where I say you will do something, certainly Rabbi Shmuel will say mabaya is certainly an invalid shvuah. Keep lihi, but how it says the Gemara, the machloikis of Rav and Shmuel is a libid Rabbi Kiva. Rav, Rabbi Kiva. Rav obviously holds like Rabbi Kiva, but a shvuah could be for the past. And Rav's saying not only could a shvuah be set for the past, the fact that it can't be set into the future doesn't bother me. But Shmuel Amar, the Shmuel says, absolutely, Rabbi Kiva holds a shvuah could be for the past. But at Kalam Rabbi Kiva holds a shavur. When does Rabbi Kiva say the shvuah for the past is valid? Says Shmuel, El Milso de Isla Haba. If the shvuah is set for the past, but the same thing can be set for the future, that means if I say I threw pebbles into the sea, and I could also say I will throw pebbles into the sea, that says Shmuel is a valid shvuah. Avam mida de leisa bel haba. Again, if I say you threw pebbles into the sea, so that's a shvuah that I could say for the past, but I can't say for the future because I can't say what you will do in the future. Even Rabbi Kiva will agree, says Shmuel Loi, that it's not a valid shvuah. So that suggests the Gemara. Lema, perhaps the machlokes of Rav and Shmuel, is connected to this machlokes Tanuah. The Yehuda ben Maseiv Rabbonu Kamifkli. Tatanan, Nizbe Levatel Samitzvah. We're going to learn this Mishnah later in our parak. Somebody makes a shvuah that he's going to not do a mitzvah, V'loi Bitel, and then he ends up fulfilling the mitzvah, Potter. Everybody, it's not a valid shvuah. Why? Because as we've been learning, a shvuah levatlas a mitzvah is not a shvuah that one can make. What about l'kaimus a mitzvah? If somebody makes a shvuah that he's going to fulfill a certain mitzvah, v'loi kiyem, and then he ends up not fulfilling it, potter. It's still not a valid shvuah. Why? Because Rabbanan are of the opinion that shvuah l'kaimus a mitzvah is not a valid shvuah. Why is it not a valid shvuah? Because he's already mushbev on it. Shahay b'din. Because if we wanted to apply logic, we would actually say sheichayiv that a shvuah l'kayim as a mitzvah ought to be a valid shvuah. K'dir Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, as Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says. Don't Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Because what is Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira's logic? Umam rishus. If I make a shvuah about something that I'm not obligated to do. I have no obligation to do it. Again, let's use the example that we've been learning. If I make a shvuah that I will throw a pebble into the sea, I'm not obligated to throw pebbles into the sea, yet we are learning that that's a valid shvuah. If I make a shvuah about something that's totally voluntary, that I'm not obligated to do, it's still considered a valid shvuah. And if I chas v'shalom violate that shvuah, I get punished. Mitzvah. So certainly says Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, if I make a shvuah about a mitzvah, shemushba lem has sinai, that I'm obligated from the Torah to fulfill, and a din shi chayvala, and therefore argues Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira that logically it should certainly be a valid shvuah. Armaloi, to which the Rabbanan replied to Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, loi. Im amat b'shus, shuas arashus, if we're speaking about a voluntary act, shekhen osma lafkehen, I have a choice to say I will do it, I have a choice to say I won't do it. Again, my example, not my example, Mishnah's example. If somebody makes a shvuah that he will throw a pebble into the sea, or he won't throw a pebble into the sea, either shvuah is fine. Timer, how could you make, but you can't say that regarding shvuah's mitzvah. Shekhen loy osma lafkehen, there I don't have an option to say I will, I won't do it. If it's a shvuah l'kaim is a mitzvah, I don't have the option not to do it. I only have the option to do it. So therefore, say to Rabbanan, only to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, only a shvuah where lav and hain are possible, where I can make a shvuah that I will or won't do it, can that be a shvuah? Whereas Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira obviously disagrees. Now, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira's opinion is that it doesn't have to have both options. I could, even if it's a shvuah that's only able to be made in the positive, not in the negative, l'kayim is a mitzvah, I only can make a shvuah to do it, I can't make a shvuah not to do it, it's still a valid shvuah. So now wants the Gemara to say, and as we're going to see deeper in the Gemara, the possibility for l'shahaba l'sha'avar is much more of a reason than lahabel shah than lavim and hain. And therefore, says the Gemara, if Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira doesn't require the ability for the Shvuah to be articulated, positive and negative, certainly he won't require that the Shvuah should be able to be said in the future and the past. So says the Gemara, therefore suggests the Gemara, name a Rav who says also that you don't need to have the Shvuah articulated both in the past and the future. He must be agreeing with Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. The Shmuel, who needs it to be articulated in the future and the past, also needs Lavahain, which is the opinion of the Rabbanim. Says the Gemara, no. A clear Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, if we're going to be following Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira's opinion, Kulam Lepligi, everybody will agree that a Shvuah that can't be spoken about in the future, it can only be articulated in the past. Again, what is the example? Where I say you did something is a valid Shvuah. Because, says the Gemara, Hashta, if Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira lava hainloi boy doesn't require that it should be a Shvuah that could be articulated in the positive and the negative, certainly he's not going to require that the Shvuah should be able to be stated versus the future and the past. When do we have a machloikis? Keep legally the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan we just finished learning, the Mishnah will teach us on Daf Chav Zayin, that a Shvuah has to be able to be articulated both lavahein, positive and negative. Now we have a machloikis, how to understand the opinion of the Rabbanan. The Shmuel is going to hold like the Rabbanan. And Shmuel is going to say that just like the Rabbanan require that the Shvuah should be able to be stated lavahein, so too does Shmuel require that the Shvuah has to be stated lahabalush over. Anything else disqualifies the Shvuah. The Rav will say, Kiloi mechayv Rabbanan, when did Rabbanan indeed disqualify a Shvuah? Belavahein. If it can't be said belavahein, it isn't the Shvuah. However, why? Because that's what the Torah teaches us. Look at the wording of the Torah, the Ksiv Lahar Lahaitif, good and bad, lavahein. The Ksiv Lahar Lahaitif Behedya. Avo Lahabal Shavar, but the Torah doesn't speak about the future and the past. The Ribui the crossing. Then how do we know that such Shvuahs are valid? Because the Pasuk uses the words, L'chol HaShivata Adam V'Svasayim, they're Mechayvi, you'll be Chayv, even if though you can't state the Shvuah in the future, you only could state it in the past. Ask the Gemara, Moser Rav Hamnuna, ask Rav Hamnuna, on the opinion of Shmuel, we're going to learn, at the end of our parak, if someone makes a Shvuah, Lo Yechalti Hayoyim, I didn't eat today, V'lo Yenachti Tefillin Hayoyim, or I didn't put on Tefillin today, Mashbiach Ani, and the person says to you, I make you make a Shvuah to that statement. And as we're going to learn, actually in the next parak, that for a Shvuah to be a valid Shvuah, I don't have to say it. As long as I say Amen, it's good enough. It's considered a valid Shvuah that if I violate the Shvuah, I'm Chayif. Ask the Gemara on the opinion of Shmuel. Bishlama, lo yachalti, if somebody made a Shvuah that I didn't eat regarding the past, it's also a shvuah that can be made regarding the future. Isa b'loyoichel. I can make a shvuah that I will not eat into the future. However, elaloyinachti, if somebody made a shvuah that I didn't put on tefillin, mi isa b'loyinich, can somebody make a shvuah that I won't put on tefillin? We're obligated to put on tefillin every day. And according to Shmuel, a shvuah that can't be articulated for the future and in the past, it's not a valid shvuah. Why? That if somebody made a shvuah that I didn't put on tefillin, is it a valid shvuah? I can't make a shvuah that I will. Since I can't make a shvuah that I won't put on tefillin, then a shvuah that I made that I didn't put on tefillin should automatically disqualify. Says the Gemara, who might love a farakla? Let's talk about tani. The Mishnah should be understood as follows. Lo yachalti lekarbin, lo yachalti lemalkus. Very important point. We've been having a discussion, almost for a lot of Gemara already, about a shvuah that according to Shmuel, to be considered a valid shvuah, has to be shvuah that you could say for the past and the future. Otherwise, it's not a valid shvuah. Says the Gemara, that entire discussion is only as far as the chiv carbon. There's a special chiv carbon, oil of yairid, when you violate a shvuah, speak to bishayi. Shmuel didn't disagree regarding a malchus. If somebody intentionally bemazed it is over a shvuah, that shvuah says even if it's not able to be said in the future, you'll get malchus. So therefore, this is the way the Gemara explains that Mishnah. Regarding the Shvuah, about Ochalti. Shmuel said that's a full-fledged Shvuos Pitui, where there'll be a Chiv carbon oil of a Yoyrid B'Shoigig, and a Chiv Malkus B'Mezit. The Shvuos of Tefillin, indeed, will be a Shvuos Pitui. And if you deliberately B'Mezit, or even at Shvuos, you'll get Malkus, but you won't get carbon oil of a Yoyrid, because it's a Shvuos that can only be said for the past, not for the future. Truthfully, Tosfos and the Rishonim point out that the Gemara could have given a number of other Tzurtzim. First of all, the Gemara could have said that you make the Shvuah on Shabbos. Shabbos Yatra, we don't put on Tefillin. So therefore, when somebody made a Shvuah that I didn't put on Tefillin, it's a Shvuah that could be made in the future, because I will not put on Tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And even, so Taisa says, the Gemara didn't want to, essentially what the Rishonim say, we could come up with all sorts of scenarios, but the Gemara wants to give a lot of the Shateretz, not a Teretz that's obvious. Another obvious Teretz, as we just finished saying in the piece of Gemara that we learned before, that Shmuel's opinion and Yehuda ben Beseira's opinion certainly are not consistent. So you could have said that that mission is following the opinion of Yehuda ben Beseira. But again, the Gemara wanted to say a teretz that will work even according to Shmuel. After Shaila Meshiv, a Gevaldig Akasha. Our Gemara says that somebody makes a Shmuel that I didn't put on tefillin today, it's not a valid Shmuel according to Shmuel, at least a full-fledged valid Shmuel's Bitui, because I cannot make a Shmuel that I won't put on tefillin today. Why? Asked the Shalom Meshiv. Once I put on tefillin in the morning, I did my mitzvah. So why is it automatically considered an invalid shvuah? Because the future is not true. What's wrong with the future? If I put on tefillin this morning, I already did my mitzvah. So putting on the tefillin in the future is a fine shvuah. Making sure that I won't put on tefillin is perfectly fine. So Shalom Meshiv quotes his father, and there's actually a very long B'yar Halach on this issue, that even though we know that we don't put on tefillin all day, that doesn't mean there isn't a mitzvah to wear tefillin all day. The mitzvah really is to wear tefillin all day. We don't wear tefillin all day because we have a concern of hesach hadas, we have a concern that our bodies aren't clean, but that doesn't take away that the real mitzvah is to wear tefillin all day. So therefore, when somebody makes a shvuah that I won't put on tefillin, it's not a valid shvuah because he's making a shvuah against the mitzvah, because the mitzvah is really to wear tefillin all day. That's the Shalom Meshiv's father's teretz. The Shalom Meshiv himself says somewhat more of a lomdish teretz. He says as follows. He says that when Shmuel says that a shvua has to be able to be articulated for the past and the future, Shmuel is also saying, and both of those shvuas have to be true. So now, what's the Gemara saying? That if somebody makes a shvua that he won't put on tefillin, it's not a valid shvua, because he can't make a shvua that he will not put on tefillin. Why? So we ask why. I already put on tefillin this morning. But if I already put on tefillin this morning, that means the first shvuah I made was a lie. So Shmuel is saying, very lumdish what the Shalom Meshiv is saying. Not only do both shvuahs have to be articulated for the past and the future, they also have to be able to be true. And if I make a shvuah that I didn't put on tefillin, then I can't make a shvuah that I won't, because I still have the mitzvah. If I make a shvuah that I won't, means that I already did. So then the first shvuah that I made, when I didn't, was a lie. And therefore, part of Shmuel's statement is that you have to be able to articulate it for the past and the future, and they both have to be true. And in this case, they wouldn't both be true. Continues the Gemara. Masav Rava, another question in Shmuel's opinion. Eizu Shvu Shav, what is considered a Shvu Shav? Nishbel Shanas Yidul Adam. If somebody makes a Shvu against what is obvious. For example, Amar Amit Shal Evin. If somebody said that a stone pillar is made out of gold, that's considered a shvuah shav. Vama Ula, and Ula in explaining that Mishnah teaches us for it to be considered a shvuah shav, three people have to know what I'm saying is not true. Interesting, the Pesukim use this for a different area in Halacha. We know in Halacha there's a concept of Machal Shabbos B'Feresia, B'Rabim. What does it mean, Barabim? How many people you have to be Mechal Shabbos to be considered for Esya? So they bring a Rai from Al Gemara, three people. If you're Mechal Shabbos in front of three people, that's considered Nikol Rabbim. V'ushin Nikol Abnim Nei Adam. But let's learn the Mishnah. Tam the Nikor. It's only because it's obvious, that's why it's a Shavu Shav. So the Gemara is Medayik in that Mishnah. Holai Nikor, were it not obvious, Oiv Mishum Shavu Spitli. It won't be in the category of a Shavu Shav, it'll be in the category of a Shavu Spitoi. Ask the Gemara, why is it in that category? Again, According to Shmuel, for Shmuel to be a Shvuah Pitui, it has to be a Shvuah that could be articulated for the past and for the future. This Shvuah, you can't articulate for the future. I can't say that this stone pillar will be gold. It'll never be gold. So according to Shmuel, why is it considered Shvuah Pitui, which the Deek of the Mishnah seems to imply it is? Answers the Gemara. That's not the way to learn the Mishnah. Who might love a Huma Farakle? Nicker, when somebody makes a Shvuah, which is obviously false, Ayv Mishum Shvuah Shav. Loi Nicker, when somebody makes a Shvuah, which is false, but it's not that obvious, Ayv Mishum Shvuah Shaker. And as we learned earlier, what's the Nafkamina? The Loch is, as we know, before somebody does an Avera, he's supposed to receive Hasra. The Hasra has to be the proper Hasra. So here, if somebody's about to make a false Shvuah about something that's Nicker, the Hasra has to be, you're going to be making a Shvuah Shav. If somebody's going to make a false Shvuah about something which is not obvious, the Hasra has to be, it's going to be a Shvuah Sheker. That's what the Mishnah is teaching us. Amar Abaye, before I go further, we're going to learn, actually it's going to be the subject of the next Perek. There's another type of Shvuah, Shvuah Sa'edis. Shvuah Sa'edis means that somebody makes a Shvuah, that I know testimony, and you come to me and you tell me, you know testimony, and I falsely say I don't. That's called a Shvuah Sa'edis. Amar Abaye, says Abaye, Moy de Rav. Somebody says, Ba'oim l'chaver, Shvuah Sheni Yidoy Lech Edis. Somebody says, I know Edis for you. V'shtakech Deloy Adelay, and he didn't know the potter. Why? Because somebody makes such a Shvuah, Hoya V'leis B'klal Sheni Yidoy Lech Edis. Since making a Shvuah of any Yidoy Lech Edis, when somebody makes a shvuah falsely, any day of ha'edus, it's not a shvuah spitu. As I just said, it's a shvuah sa'edus. Rav agrees, Rav holds, not agrees, Rav holds that you don't have to have l'habu l'sha'ovar. But Rav agrees that you have to be able to at least have a shvuah in the past. She'eni yedei l'cha'edis is never going to be a shvuah spitui, because the Torah took it out of the category of shvuah spitui and put it into the category of shvuah sa'edus. So something that could, in one status, in the past is going to be Shvuah Sa'edis, in the future can't be Shvuah Pitui. Continues the Gemara. Yodati v'lo yodati. If somebody makes a Shvuah that I know or didn't know Edis, Machloikas, says the Gemara, that's the here too we will have the Machloikas between Rav and Shmuel. According to this is a situation that you can have a positive and a negative, but you can't have a future, because I don't know what I'm going to know in the future. So according to Shmuel, a Shvuah that can't be said in the future tense is not a valid Shvuah. According to Rav, it is. Another case of Adati V'loyadati, and as Tosfos explains, it's referring to a case where you don't need me to say Edis. So there's no issue of Shvuah to Edis. Again, it will be a Machloikus of Rav and Shmuel. Says the Gemara, because according to Rav, the fact that it can't be said in the future, because I don't know what I'm going to know in the future, or I don't know if you're going to need me in the future, doesn't disqualify the Shvuah. Says the Gemara, according to Shmuel, that says that a Shvuah that can't be articulated in the future, therefore you can't be chayiv as a Shvuah Spitu for the past. Says the Gemara, the Gemara is focusing on a very obvious question. Why did the Torah have to teach us the parasha of Shvuah Sa'edis? Every Shvuah Sa'edis is a Shvuah Pitui. Because if you approach me and say Edis, and I say falsely, I swear falsely, I don't know, that's a Shvuah Pitui. So why did the Torah have to say a whole new parasha of Shvuah Sa'edis? So according to Shmuel, it's very understandable. Because I can never make a Shvuah Sa'edis in the future. I can't make a Shvuah that I will know Edis. How do I know I will know Edis? And according to Shmuel, if you can't say it in the future, then it's also not a Shvuah for the past. Now I understand why the Torah had to be Mechadish, a new category of Shvuah, Shvuah Sa'edis. Because otherwise, a Shvuah that I don't know Edis for you would never be a Shvuah Spitui, and you would be free. El Rav, but have asked the Gemara, according to Rav, the fact that it can't be stated in the future does not disqualify it. El Rav, l'may hilchasa, after Rachmana, why did the Torah have to be mechadish shvuah sa'edis? And as the Ritva points out, even though as we're going to learn in the next parak, there are some very unique rules to Shavuos Eidus. The Torah could have just told us the Shavuos Pitui Halacha and given us these details. Why did the Torah have to be mechadish a whole new case of Shavuos Eidus? Answers the Gemara, Amru Rabbanan Kamei Dabaya. You know why? If somebody makes a Shavuos Eidus, he'll get double punishment for Shavuos Eidus and Shavuos Pitui. Amr Abu Kamei Dabaya L'chayv L'tarti. Amr Lu, so Abai says to them, Tatla Matzis Amrisu. What you said is impossible. Why? Because the Torah says, L'achas Me'ela. The teachers, L'achas Atem Mechayvoy. You can only be chayv for Shavuos Eidus or Shavuos Pitui. V'atem Mechayv Shtayim. So ask the Gemara, so if so, we're back to the question, so why did the Torah teach us a new parasha of Shavuos Eidus according to Rav? Why is it not already included in the category of Shavuos Pitui? Answers the Gemara, L'chretanya, B'kulam nema v'nelam. In all the cases where the Torah says the chiv of carbon v'oil v'yayrid, the Torah uses the word v'nelam. V'kan lo nema v'alam, here the Torah doesn't use that word, to teach us that Shavuos Eidus has a chumrah. That you chayiv the carbon oil of a yoyrid, even be mezid. Chayiv, mezid kishagig. Omalei Rabbanu Labaya, Ema, so according to the way you're explaining, be mezid, if indeed somebody violates a shvus eidah be mezid, so it's not a shvus pitui, he'll be chayiv one carbon. If he does it be shagig, he'll be chayiv tarti. One for shvus eidahs, and one for shvus pitui. Omalei Lav, Haina da Amri, to which he responded, isn't that what the Torah says? La'achas me'ela, achas atem mechayvoy, v'yatem mechayv shtayim. And he makes this point. V'mezid, if you're saying, v'mezid yechayiv, mi katarti, v'mezid you only chayiv, you never chayiv for shvus pitui. Rav Amma, Rav says, you know why you can't be chayiv for shvus eidus and shvus pitui? Because this is a situation where the Torah spoke about shvus pitui, v'yotz lidim dov chodosh, and now the Torah speaks about a shvus eidus, and that this is one of the Yud Gimel Midas, that the Torah teaches us a new category, it's only Shavuos Eidus, not Shavuos Pitui. So what does V'achas Me'ela come to teach us according to Rava? It comes to teach us that if we spoke about this earlier in our parak, if somebody makes a general statement, I won't eat bread, then he's chayiv one carbon if he ate many different types of bread. If he says each separate bread, then he's chayiv separate carbonus for each one. Ask the Gemara, Mechlal, Abai who disagrees with Rava, Isal Shavuos Ba'olam. Abai is obviously of the opinion that a Shavuos Eidus and Shavuos Pitui could coexist. Ask the Gemara, but didn't we learn earlier on this Amid, V'am Abai, M'oyma l'chaveri Shavuos Shana Yoyda l'cha Eidus, V'shtakht lo yoda le depoto, Hoya v'leisa v'eni yoda l'cha Eidus. So this Gemara implies that if it's a Shavuos Eidus, it's not a Shavuos Pitui. Here Abai is teaching us you could have both coexist. Answers the Gemara, Hoda by Abai Meyi. Abai retracted from that. Both of these statements were not said by Abai. One was said by Abai, one was said by Papa. How do people make this confusion? So I saw the Rosh Hashanah say a beautiful pshat. Abai was first the Rosh Hashiva, and then Papa was the Rosh Hashiva. But it was one right after the other, and both statements were made, and the Talmidim got confused. They thought both were made by Abai, but it's not what actually happened. The first was made by Abai, the second was made by Papa.